Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.
Broadcast facility at Bank of America Stadium.
As this collection of athletes strives to become a team, we start the show with the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule, who joins us now live. Coach, thank you for your time and welcome in. An NFL roster this time of year is a kind of a living, breathing thing. It can be fluid, some changes to it just today, which we'll get into later. But what sense do you have right now as to what kind of identity and character your first Panther football team is going to embody?
Well, I think I certainly feel really good about the character of our team. These guys have sacrificed through a pandemic. You know, they've given their time. They've made good decisions. They've worked hard. I couldn't be prouder to be associated with them, and they're a young group that's led by some great veteran leaders, and I'm excited to see them play. I think they'll get better and better as time goes on, and I think they're going to play with energy and passion and excitement, and I'm anxious to get on the field with them.
Hey, Coach, this is Eugene. You had an unprecedented draft, all defensive players. So what holes did you immediately want to address defensively when you saw this team, the 2020 Panthers?
Well, I think, this was a team last year that had a lot of guys in the last year of their contract and all really good players. But, just financially for us, just hard to keep everybody. So, I think as we got into free agency, but then certainly as we got into the draft, I think we're probably going to start four rookie players, from that draft. And, whether that's three or four, I'm not exactly sure. But we drafted guys to be starters. We drafted guys to come in and play right off the bat. And, KK and I were talking on the field the other day that there is no redshirt year. There is no, catch your breath year, get used to the NFL year. This is a group that's going to have to come in and play right away. And, that can be daunting, but at the same time, you look at it, and they were drafted that way for a reason. And so we need those guys to go out and play their best football. And the good thing is we have some veteran guys on defense that can hopefully lead them and teach them the way to do things, and then hopefully we can pretty quickly get our legs underneath us and play to the level that we're all capable of.
Hey, Coach, it's Jim Zuki. We'll keep it on defense here. And while we're talking some of these young defensive players, we've heard a lot about Jeremy Chinn, some of your thoughts about him heading into his first game, and also with the Eli Apple hamstring injury, Troy Pride Jr., and what you're seeing out of those two defensive backs.
Well, Chinn's just a special young man. I mean, he works at a high level every day. He's tremendously versatile. He can play at the second level. He can play at the third level. He's just really, really a special athlete. And so I think we're going to be able to use his versatility in a myriad of ways. And he plays hard. He's only going to get better and better and better. And then, obviously Eli's had some injuries. We put him down today, on IR. So hopefully at some point, he'll have a chance to, maybe come back or, get healthy. That's the most important thing for him, is to get healthy. And, Troy's been running with the ones for a while now. And, he's a fast, explosive athlete. He works really hard at the game. He takes it very, very, very seriously. And, his best football's ahead of him. So, he has to adapt and adjust to, the NFL game. He's got to get out there and play. But he has the talent to do it, and he has the mindset to do it. So shoot, let's go do it. Let's go out there and play. And I'm excited to watch him. I think he's got all the things that you need, and he just has to go out there and get on the field and make it happen.
Does this defense, Coach Rule, have the kind of burst and foot speed that could make it a pretty aggressive unit and the ability to dial up some different ways to pressure opposing passers?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is we have just a natural pass rush between, you know, Burns and Haynes and Weatherly and KK and, you know, Derrick Brown. I mean, you know, just with a four-man rush, I think we're going to hopefully have the ability to get pressure. And that was true last year. I mean, I think it was 50-some sacks last year for the Carolina Panthers. That's a tremendous number. That usually equates to about 10 to 12 wins for a team. The challenge for us is going to be stopping the run. You know, last year we struggled. We were 5.16 a carry, which is one of the worst in the NFL. And so, you know, what we're challenging our guys with is, you know, go be great rushing the passer. Let's go be great, you know, flying around the field. But we're also going to have to, you know, kind of hang in there and hold our gap and play physical, tough football and stop the run. And so, you know, we've got the young guys to do it. We have the vets to do it. It's just a matter of going out there and doing it. And it's not, you know, sometimes that's not the pretty stuff. You know, you don't pay a lot of attention to somebody who holds a double team, but it makes a difference. And that's what's going to take for us to win. It's not just doing the fun stuff that everyone notices. It's going to be about our guys doing the gritty, tough stuff that winners do.
And, Coach, I want to stay right on that defense, too, if I can, because you mentioned something about the double team. Last year we didn't see the double team as much because it was in that 3-4 system. Now you change it back to that 4-3 system, which works. Can you talk about just the difference between the 4-3 and the 3-4 and how the 4-3, I think, in my opinion, stops the run a little bit better?
Yeah, you know, I think just the way I look at it is, you know, so much of football now is nickel football. Is, you know, other teams getting in 11 personnel, getting in, us going to a 4-down structure anyway. So, you know, the 3-4, it's a great defense, but you know, you basically have to get out of it when you play against the 11 personnel teams anyway. Once you go to sub, once you go to nickel, so just makes more sense to me to have the same defense being run all the time. And we want to put two big, strong, physical guys on the inside that can eat up double teams and get up the field and let our linebackers run. We think we have them in KK and Derrick Brown and Zach Kerr and Bravion Roy. We got some big physical guys, and so we're going to put two guys on the inside and let them go attack and hope that allows our linebackers to run and be sideline to sideline type players.
Well, Coach, of course, typically by now, every team would have had four preseason games to kind of work through everything, including, you know, the game day operations and communications within a coaching staff, which you've assembled a great staff here. And I know Joe Brady was still talking last week, if he'll be in the booth or on the field is still to be determined in his mind. How much have you guys been able to simulate and kind of work as a staff on just those kind of mechanics of calling a clean game with the players out there when Sunday rolls around?
You know, we did it last Friday, and we're gonna have to do it again as a staff on our own, and then we'll go back through the pregame with the players one more time. That's one of those things that you miss, you know, and what you don't want to do is you don't want to get out there in the first game. And, you know, I firmly believe that the first thing that you have to do to win a football game is just not beat yourself, you know, no self-inflicted wounds, no negative plays, no penalties, no, you know, loaves, missed assignments, drops. And that starts with the coaching staff, you know, them, as you said so well, calling a clean game. And so we're going to make sure that we go back through it one more time. You know, the great thing is we have a staff that works well together. We don't have a lot of egos. We just have a lot of guys that like to work. But just making sure that everything is clean from the you know, getting in and out of the locker room to the end of the game, making sure that, you know, we make it all football and don't make anything a distraction.
Matt Rule live on Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins. Along with Coach Rule, it's Mick, the Zoc, and Jeannie Robb. Coach, how much of a tactical advantage will you start the game with against the Raiders on Sunday, with your Panthers being so brand new that the Raiders may not know exactly how you're going to attack and defend?
Yeah, I think it's an advantage. You know, I've tried to protect that. You know, as people have asked me questions in the media, I've tried to be, you know, a little bit coy, which is not really my way. I prefer just to be transparent. But, you know, in a year where there are no preseason games, you know, I think people have an idea of what we're going to do, but not exactly. And so it's definitely an advantage. Now, that being said, once the game gets started, you know, it comes down to blocking and tackling. It comes down to, you know, who turns the ball over, who takes it away, all those different things. And so we want to make sure that we don't ever try to be too cute. You know, we just want to go out and play good football and let our play speak for itself. But it is an advantage, and it's one that, you know, we're going to try to take advantage of. You know, just trying to keep things quiet until we get to the game, and then get to the game and go out there. And as I told our guys, you know, it's never about the opponent. We have a lot of respect for them, but it's always about us. We're gonna make sure that we go play our best, you know, prepare our best this week, and then try to go play our best.
And Coach, let's throw the offense side of the ball. Are you excited about this, the skill set that you have assembled from an offensive standpoint, running back and receiver, particularly in Coach Brady's system, where it's a spread system, where you can go empty backfield, you get three receivers to one side, all bunch. You have different looks that you can kind of disguise, and also that you can utilize?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Joe's system's one that is predicated on getting the ball to different players, you know, and getting the ball spread out, you know, throughout the offense. You know, we don't want to be a team that people can look at us and say, well, just take away this one guy or take away these two guys. But rather we want to be an offense that you say, hey, we have to take away, you know, the whole group. And when you have a guy like Christian McCaffrey, obviously he commands attention. DJ Moore has done some great things. Curtis has done some great things. You add in Robbie now, and hopefully that's really a triumvirate of receivers that can spread the field. And I really have liked the training camp of Chris Manhertz. You know, he's a tremendous blocker who's grown as a pass catcher. Ian Thomas, you know, coming off an injury, you know, we like the things that he can do. Alex Arm has been a weapon as a fullback. So, you know, we want to be an offense that can obviously run the football when it's needed, but be explosive. And I think we have the weapons, and we put the weapons around Teddy to go do so.
Coach, to get into the Raiders a little bit coming up in a few days here, since we're talking about your offense, we'll look at their defense a little bit. But they added Nick Kwiatkowski and Corey Littleton at linebacker. They drafted Damon Arnett, so they got two big physical corners with Mullen, the former Clemson Tiger, there. So they've really got a lot of team speed, it looks like, as far as what they maybe have added in this offseason to what they're doing defensively with the Raiders.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this is a passing league, and they've certainly, with the additions that they've had, they've certainly added to their ability to take away the pass. And, you know, Littleton's someone that, you know, as you said, it's really, really that hybrid feature linebacker that's, you know, starting to enter the NFL, a guy that can defend the run, but then at the same time cover tight ends and running backs. And so, you know, they have a tremendous front. They're hard to block. They've been hard to run the ball against. So, you know, there'll be a lot of challenges, both personnel-wise and schematically, that our guys will have to conquer.
Great words, Coach. We'll end it with you there. Thanks so much for being on the show, and look forward to these weekly visits, and good luck as you continue your preparations this week for the Raiders game.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate it, Coach. Matt Rhule, brought to you by Morris Jenkins. Outstanding. So our goal is to start the show off strong and then get better from there. We've got some cool stuff for you. You'll meet Kristen Balboni later on, our sideline reporter, content provider for Panthers.com, and live just after the bottom of the hour, Marty Herney, the general manager of the Carolina Panthers. Stay tuned. More Panther talk right after this on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Play. That's truly playing the game at the purest form. And so we don't want to make a lot of decisions about, okay, I feel like playing right now, I don't feel like playing. We just want to go out there and be the same guy every day.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Broadcast Roundtable brought to you by Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I think the Raiders staff is going to have one of the hardest week one scouts in the NFL because of how new the Panthers will be. On the other side, though, see if you guys agree with me on this. The Raiders have a big O-line, rugged, road-grading O-line. So don't you think that their game plan, their scout will be, I mean, the Panthers scout on them will be pretty easy. So, Eugene, Jim, do the Panthers have are the Panthers heavy enough in the trousers up front to stop the run and keep from getting rooted out of there?
Absolutely. Yes, they are. And I tell you why, because with the addition of Brown and then the advent of K.K. Short back in the mix, K.K. Short is one of the best defensive tackles in the league, really adept at the double team, really adept at keeping that keeping that guard and that center off that middle linebacker so the middle linebacker, when that used to be Luke Kuechly, can go ahead and eat. I think that's what we're missing. I think going back to that 4-3 really shores this up and allowed the linebackers to go ahead and float and run and go make plays and eat. And that's what I think Coach Rule is doing. So I know that's a tough offensive line, but here it is, Mick. They've only had 118 yards. You would think with that offensive line, they would be average 140 yards per game. That's not the case. 118, that's respectable, but I don't think it's as big as you may think it may be, because with the addition of the guys I just mentioned, I think that stops that.
I think Richie Incognito played when you were playing, Eugene.
He's yes, he was.
Now, speaking of which, Jason Witten's on this team, too.
So I know. Jason Witten's on the team, too. Yeah.
I think he was actually a sophomore when you were a freshman, but yeah, that's going back a while there, too. And if that's not enough defensive weight up front, Bravian Roy.
Yes.
We'll see if he's active on game day or not, but you're talking about 330 pounds there, the rookie out of Baylor, and Zach Kerr, who they've really liked a lot in this preseason camp that they've been working through here. And they like to run, as you mentioned, Josh Jacobs, the rookie out of Alabama last year. He was terrific. But beyond him, you know, they made some moves this week, and they're down to Richard, who's basically a third down back, kick returner, punt returner. Basically, Jacobs is the running game for the Raiders.
Yeah, they cut their third-round draft choice before he'd even played a single snap, and Mike Mayock got tattooed a little bit for that by some of the media that covers the Raiders. Derek Carr can complete passes on you, and he's had some great moments, but he seems to me like he leads the free world in the two-yard completion. He's just always checking it down.
Mm-hmm. He's 70%, and you would think with that accuracy of 70%, you're like, oh, man, these guys are eating it up. But he's really not eating it up. I mean, you're absolutely right, Mick. They're good, but they're just not as great as the numbers would tell you on 70% accuracy and completion. He's at 100. His quarterback rating is right at 100. So you think that, man, these guys are putting in work. They were 7-9 last year. This team was 7-9, mm-hmm. and so this team has the potential, and I bet you if you're looking at their coaching staff is saying, man, we got a lot of potential, but got a lot of stuff on paper, but paper doesn't play football games. Football players make football plays, and you got to go out there and prove it each day and day out, and so I like our chances really against this ball club.
It'll be interesting to see how much in this first game they utilize Henry Ruggs out of Alabama. He's like a 4.27 guy. So that is, if it is a two-yard pass, he can make it into a much longer one if they throw that kind of a pass. But he'll be the Z, and he can fly, obviously. He was the first receiver off the board in this draft. And that it's a lot of more like possession kind of guys, like Hunter Renfrow, former Clemson Tiger. From ECU, Zay Jones is now there. He used to be with Buffalo. He bounced around the league a little bit. Nelson Aguilar.
Aguilar.
So they have, that one big running back and now this speedy receiver who's playing his first game. Be interesting to see if Troy Pride ends up with him being a 4-4 guy, if that ends up being a matchup throughout the afternoon.
And, Mick, what you really do is you just change your defense. You do some cover two, some cover six. You rotate that corner down there and get a guy in his face, have the safeties get a little bit deep, rush your backers right there, and now you just nullify speed. You just took away the speed of guys running, running down the football field fast, 4-2 and 4-3.
I was going to say exactly that same thing, although probably not as well. It will be interesting to see, too, how the Panthers match up, whether they go field corner, boundary corner, or will they go our best cover corner on what they think will be their most dangerous mid-range and deep threat. We shall see. It's Panther Talk brought to you by Morris Jenkins. We'll come back with more right after this on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Angles to the near side, touch right side, he's in, touchdown. 20, 10, 5, and a touchdown.
Football's a game of mistakes, and teams get way and way better as the year goes on. Which you'll see, I think, in the National Football League this year is who teams are in week one with no preseason games is not who they're going to be. And we know, we've been practicing together for, 3 weeks now in terms of actual football. We haven't been together real long. We'll get better and better and better. So it's not really mistakes. To me, though, at the end of the day, at your core as a football player, we want to be a team that always plays hard and always plays with passion and energy and excitement.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Zilke, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
So much news in the offseason, the hiring of Matt Rhule, Teddy Bridgewater, stories everywhere you look. The draft for the Panthers, all defensive players, but all of that white noise obscured the blockbuster story of the offseason, and that was that the Carolina Panthers, your Carolina Panthers, convinced Kristen Elena Balboni to return home from Chicago to join us as our sideline reporter and content provider. How did we do that deal with you, Kristen?
Well, Mick, I'm honored that you would say that. And I'm also honored that you know my middle name. When I first met you, you knew my middle name. And that's just a byproduct of the research that you put into everything. It was actually me approaching the Panthers. I've been a fan of the team. And my husband and I wanted to come home to North Carolina to be closer to family. And I said, boy, if I could ever get a shot to work for the Panthers, I'm just going to toss this out there and see if it sticks or if anyone knows anything. And by gosh, it worked. And I'm here.
It timed up great. And your resume is impressive. Southern Pines, UNC, stops in L.A., Bristol, Connecticut, Chicago most recently. What did you learn working on the Mike and Mike show at ESPN?
I learned so much. I learned professionalism. I learned how hard it is to talk every day for 4 hours. Mick, I think you know a little something about that. It is not an easy task, and then to make it look easy is even harder. So those are things that I learned, being nice to people, treating everyone with respect. And again, I think it's so much about the hard work that goes into everything. I saw those two broadcasting titans come in every single day at 4 a.m, work really, really hard, and just enjoy themselves. As you like to say, it's not rocket science. We're not, you know, changing lives in any big way, so we should have fun with it.
So you go to L.A. for a while.
I do.
And L.A. is not for everybody. What was your time out there like?
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. We lived near the beach. I had a great working family with Fox Sports, a lot of people that I am still very close with. We still play fantasy football. And I made some of my best friends out there. And Mick, you'll like this. It was a big UNC group out there of transplanted Tar Heels. And we actually all watch Panthers games together. So big North Carolina influence in my LA friend group. And I just absolutely love my time there.
I've read about you, Kristen Balboni, that you came to this, to the on-air side of this industry, kind of through the research side of things. What does that do? What does your love of kind of getting into the nuance and the minutia do to your on-air presentation?
I think it helps. I think it helps you find an edge. I love to find stories or stats that no one has been talking about and present them. I love to talk about them with the person I'm interviewing and say, hey, I read this, kind of like you knowing my middle name. That's the kind of stuff that I love to find out about people, whether it be a story, whether it be a stat. I love to dig and uncover. And I think it just has always helped my confidence to know as much as I can about the game or the subject or the team that I'm covering. And that just makes me feel more confident and secure on air.
One more question about you, and then we'll talk a little bit of football here on Panther Talk. Kristen Balboni, our guest, our sideline reporter on the radio side, and you've already seen her, I'm sure, on .com. Who is Lucille, and why is she important to you?
Lucille is the head of the family at my house. She is my 6-pound adopted chihuahua. We think she's at least a chihuahua. She's a stray. We adopted her as an adult at age 5. She's about 10 years old now, and boy, does she run the show at my house. She's the best.
What's your first training camp been like?
You know, it's funny. I've heard so much from other people about how different it is, but since I don't know any different, I think it's been great. I got to say, I appreciate the cooler temperatures. I've heard about how hot it gets down there at Wofford, and Mick, I know you love the heat. But I am not someone that loves the heat. So it's been kind of nice to go out there in the mornings here at the practice field, 70s, and get to see the team in a weather-friendly environment.
Has it hit you yet, Kristen Balboni, that you'll be a sideline reporter who is barred from the sideline?
I would like to be called a moat reporter going forward. That's what they've designated that operational zone, that row one. I've heard it referred to as the moat. So, Mick, when you throw down to me, I would like you to say our moat reporter, Kristen Balboni.
Sponsorship opportunities there somewhere. We'll have to figure that out. Kristen, the football team overall, you've talked to many of the coaches. This was right in your wheelhouse, I thought, because so many Zoom interviews that you archive with so many of the new coaches and players as well. So what's a favorite, before we wrap up this visit with you, what's a favorite story or two or figure or two that you got to know during your work this spring?
I really enjoyed getting to know defensive coordinator Phil Snow. You and I have had interactions with him, and he's such a football guy, for lack of a better term. You can tell he's a long-time D coordinator, long-time coach, loves to talk ball. But I really got to dig in and find out a little bit about what he likes to do off the field. He loves to golf. His son is a great golfer. He grew up on a ranch, if I'm not mistaken. And he said, you know, that's how I grew up, so I don't mind getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and talking about football because I was doing that at this ranch that I grew up on. So I just really enjoyed getting to know him a little bit. And I think I might be one of the few people that's gotten to do that here, you know, because a lot of his interviews are he's talking football. So it was neat to kind of pull back the curtain on him a little bit. And I think he's a fun guy.
I think so. Speaking of fun, you know what this is all about, right? The Zoke, your humble correspondent, yourself, David Langton, our support people, you've joined a group of people, a fraternity of people, that take what we do seriously, but we don't take ourselves overly seriously. I think you're going to fit in great, and we're going to have some fun. So welcome to the team.
Well, Mick, you and I share an office space, and we've gotten to work together before, and I've tried to play it cool, but I have to say I am so honored to get to work with you this season and the rest of our crew. I mean, this is just a dream come true for me.
You've played it. That's a surprise for me to hear. So you've played it very, very cool.
I've tried to. I walked in for my interview. You were one of the first people I saw, and I went, that's Mick Nixon. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And you knew my middle name. You knew my middle name then.
Like most people said, that's Mick Nixon. And, geez, listening to him on the radio, I always thought maybe he might have actually played a sport. Ba-doom-tsh. All right, Kristen.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Stay with us. Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues after this.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, baby. It's time. Time to talk to the general manager of the Carolina Panthers, Marty Herney, who joins us now live on the line. Marty, what do you like? I know the roster is changing and continually evolving kind of this time of year, like we said with Coach Rhule. But what do you like about the roster that the Panthers have right now?
Well, I think, you know, if you scripted this weekend, Mick, the way we scripted, everything kind of fell right. We basically have 10 offensive linemen, 10 defensive linemen, and I think that's something you like just because you have to be strong up front. I think we felt good about both sides of the ball up front. So we went heavy roster-wise there. We have 9 rookies on the 53, I think, and 16 basically on the 69. And, you know, we've talked all along about it being a 69-man roster. And I think if you look at our practice squad, you can go through and at each position, we like a guy that we can bring up there if somebody gets hurt. So I think that, you like the fact that I think we have some depth up front and we have some practice squad guys who can come in and help us if there's injuries.
Marty, this is Eugene. How has not having preseason games affecting the decision-making process when it comes to assembling this team?
I think around the league, Eugene, you can see there are less claims. I think there were 17 players claimed Saturday. We claimed 3. The Giants claimed 3. I think that not being able to see a lot of the players in preseason, there were a lot of rookies cut on Saturday. I think for us, I think the way we practiced, I think that Matt's practices were structured. They were great evaluation sessions for us, and I think that you never know until you really get, especially with the young guys, see them in game situations. But we had a great opportunity to evaluate guys. And then, you know, we had some guys that, had some connections with other teams. Pat Stewart, our director of player personnel, was up in Philly. So we liked Rasul Douglas, the corner. We liked Sharif Miller, the DN, and he was able to give us, a personal up close view of him because he was there the last couple of years. So, I think that it just, you know, you like it, you like to think it helped you, but I think that we just felt very good about the players that we kept.
Marty, does it feel almost like, in some ways, a training camp roster still in that you mentioned the 69? I mean, there's veteran guys. Heck, Josh McCown's on a practice squad. As far as just the comfort level you have of having those 16 players and a lot of veteran guys, does that, in terms of obviously what everyone's dealing with across the league, but for you, kind of make it a little bit easier and give you a lot of depth there to be able to have that situation?
Well, that's it, Jim. You know, a lot of your injury replacements are going to come from that 16-player practice squad just because of, you know, the amount of time it would take to bring somebody in from the outside and put them through the testing process. So, you know, I think that was important, and we stress that the whole training camp is, you know, let's put the best practice squad together that we can. And I think we're fortunate. We thought that, I don't think we thought we'd get all those guys that we wanted, but we did. It's, you know, it's funny. It's, this weekend's a little bit of a chess match. And we saw that today where, you know, you, in order to put guys on injured reserve and them have the ability to come back to the 53, you had to wait until 4:01 on Sunday to put them down. Well, when you wanted to claim players, you had to claim the players by noon on Sunday and make the corresponding move immediately. So, you know, we cut a player like Efe Obada and, you know, crossed our fingers that he cleared, and he did, and we re-signed him back on the roster today. So, you know, you have to take some educated risks through the weekend. We did, and they all seemed to work out for us.
Marty Herney on Panther Talk Live. These two guys, Jim and Eugene, Marty, sometimes they will pile on me when I make a suggestion or make a football comment, and it's borderline bullying what they do. wrong.
But it's for good reason.
I don't care. So I'm going to just say what I think and get you to respond. I left Friday's practice thinking, because I had doubts about Will Greer. I'm just going to be honest. Wondered if he could function. And I left here Friday thinking he has come a million miles. Am I totally wrong?
Will's had a very good camp, as has P.J. Walker, and I think we feel very fortunate we have three quarterbacks that, you know, and obviously Teddy's the starter, and we have two young backup quarterbacks that have done extremely well in camp. And, you know, Joe Gibbs always said you'd never really know about quarterbacks until the lights come on, and that's where the preseason games, the lack of preseason games has kind of, you know, you'd like to see those guys in games, but I think we feel very fortunate that three quarterbacks and two young backup quarterbacks that we really like. And no, you're not wrong, Mick. Will has had a very good camp, as has PJ.
And the Carolina fans here were screaming, man, we need Isaiah Simmons. We need Isaiah Simmons. You guys pick up a guy, Jeremy Chinn, who is absolutely fabulous in my opinion. Can you talk about what, by not taking Isaiah Simmons and going with Brown, and how that leaves yourself with a Jeremy Chinn who can actually do all the same things that Isaiah Simmons was doing at Clemson University?
Well, we kind of had a plan, Eugene. I know sometimes people don't think so, but he was definitely part of it, and he is a very impressive young man. Has a lot of position versatility, you know, can play linebacker, can play safety. Mm. You're right, he can make plays all over the field, and we've been very pleased with his versatility, and we knew he had the skill set. But this kid's attitude is just phenomenal. I mean, he just comes every day. He's a pro already, he's a rookie, and we're extremely pleased with him.
Marty, you mentioned the fact that Efe Obada was brought back today, and that was really a corresponding move to the fact that Eli Apple was placed on the reserve injured list. So timing-wise, what do you think with Apple as far as what you're being told from the medical staff right now? And then talk some about Troy Pride Jr. and the confidence level in this young rookie and his speed that he brings.
Yeah, hopefully Eli's not long, but, you know, you can – when you put a guy on injury reserve like we did after we got past 4:00 yesterday, you know, you can bring him back after 3 weeks. That's a rule change this year. So, you know, if after three games. So him and Keith Kirkwood, and shoot, we carried Keith, you know, for the last 3 weeks of training camp with this in mind as well. So that flexibility will help us down the road, and we hope Eli can come back as soon as possible, and, you know, hopefully maybe even after those first three games, we'll just take it kind of day to day and week to week on that. But I think Troy Pride's had a good camp. I mean, again, he's another one of those guys that has come in with a professional attitude, and he can run. He's got a skill set. I think he's gotten better every week. I think our secondary coaches have done a tremendous job with, you know, our young corners, not only him, but Stanley Thomas Oliver. And you know, that's a position group that we're young. We need, you know, we needed experience. That's why, you know, Rasul Douglas being there, he gives us a little size. He gives us a bare corner and a guy who has started some games in this league and played a lot the 3 years since he was drafted. So, you know, that's a group that I think will get better continuously as we go. But Troy Pride has had a very good camp.
Marty, fantastic. Thanks for being on the show. We always enjoy you.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
Marty Herney, general manager of the Carolina Panthers. What would you say, Eugene? In fact, don't say it. I will get your comments after the break. Jeremy Chinn, 4.45 40, 41-inch vertical leap, and he is the nephew of Steve Atwater.
My goodness.
How about that? Hall of Fame safety.
We'll wait to get your comments after the break.
Yeah, so just hold on to those vocal exhortations for just a short moment. And we continue with Panther Talk next. This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Remember when Florida State first got into the Atlantic Coast Conference, Bobby Bowden Seminoles just appeared to be playing with different DNA than the other teams in the league. And you could run the perfect play, have a receiver running free, and do everything right offensively, and they didn't care. I mean, somebody was going to run you down. You were in the open field for a second, and then somebody faster than you came and ran you down. And you might gain 15 yards, but you weren't going to take it to the house. And I remember thinking, this whole thing about speed kills, guys that can really run, that closing speed on D, is real. So, Eugene, the Zoc, could the Carolina Panthers and this unit's ability to run and close space help this team this year, maybe surprise some folks?
Absolutely. I mean, you're right. Speed does kill. And speed with execution and the academics of football, I mean, it really is lethal. And that's exactly what you want. You want speed in the right place. That's at the corners. That's at the receiver position. That's at the running back position. You want quickness to be associated with that also. And the Carolina Panthers have it. They have it on offense and on defense and on special teams. Now the question is, put it all together. You know, and I think that the fact we might get a little slower start because there's been no preseason games. I keep going back to that. No preseason games. And so the start might be a little bit rough and rocky a little bit. However, once we start getting into the season, I would expect that speed to emerge on the field.
Yep, faster and physical. Got to be both, right? Can't just be Deion Sanders.
That's right.
You got to be able to tackle sometimes out there. Injury updates are brought to you by Ortho Carolina from a practice today on a Monday with the extra day to get ready for the Raiders. Dennis Daly with the ankle injury was not in there today. Eli Apple, we talked about with Marty, on reserve injured, dealing with a foot ankle injury. Ian Thomas with a toe injury and Shaq Thompson with a groin injury. Your personalized orthopedic care begins with the click of a mouse. Schedule your next appointment online at orthocarolina.com. Ortho Carolina, your care, your way.
The three of us have put our heads together, socially distanced, of course. We have the perfect game plan to defeat the Raiders, and we'll lay that out for you when we come back in just a second.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This guy came up to me at the big box store, grabbed me by my lapels, and said, "You tell Coach Rhule for me, get the ball to McCaffrey." As if that would had not occurred to
the new coach. Did you say unhand me, sir, and slap his hand away?
I scoff at you, sir.
Unhand me, sir.
You cad.
Hit him with your glove, man.
We have a pandemic going on, my God.
What I'm thinking about, though, is cleanliness. And it's easy to say, it's easy to give lip service to, but to what degree do you guys think this has got a chance to be an intelligent, clean, well-coached, pretty sound football team that doesn't look at a lot of turnovers, a lot of first and 15s because of a simple five, that kind of thing?
I think the operative word is clean. I mean, playing clean football is always – mistake-free is always the goal, always the object. And I think with Coach Rule and the staff, I think you absolutely have that. I think you got a staff that really does pay attention to the details and extremely meticulous. And so I want to see that unveiled. I want to see that what that looks like. And we'll get a chance this week to see what that looks like.
I agree. I think it's that's what's being preached. Of course, things happen in the heat of battle on a football field that can change some of those at moments, and not in a broad stroke way. But Coach said that very same thing. The last thing you want to do is go out there and beat yourself. So you're playing the Raiders. You don't want to have to beat the Raiders and beat the Panthers both and beat the referees. Sometimes the referees get in there. But I think this will be a team that will be conditioned mentally and be sharp to not give away those simple fives and do things like that.
A lot of it starts with Teddy Bridgewater too. And I think he sees things. I mean, he's not just slinging it. I mean, I think he can process. And oh man, it's going to be exciting. Good gosh, I feel like I could run down the field, cover a daggum kickoff right now.
Nah, we're good.
No, that's all right. We're good.
We're good.
I'm sick to death of being bullied by you, Joders. All right. Great show, Eugene. Great show, this Oak. Appreciate it. For DL, for Wendell, for Byron, for Podcast Matt. This is Mick Mixon. See you next time for another Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This has been Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins told me that he loves football and he looks forward to this show all week. When your plumbing or air conditioning is acting up, call Morris Jenkins or visit morrisjenkins.com.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.